so everywhere. Let him come.
You are listening to a message from Calvary Fellowship of Ottawa. For more information about our church, or more importantly, how to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, please visit our website, calvaryottawa.ca. Now, if you're able, open your Bible for today's study.
Come through the sun, come by Spirit.
So, hi guys, good to see ya. Way back, I tried to start a Calvary in Vancouver, BC, and to my knowledge, there weren't any Calvaries at the time, and it was tough, and I wasn't able to do it, but I would go up like on weekends. And it was during the summer months, and we went to the beach. We went to the beach, and there were all these people, like, you know, sunning and all this stuff. And we just went around playing guitars and doing stuff, and they didn't even listen. We did some drama stuff, and they watched, and they listened, and we even did a few concerts later in the evening and stuff. And one night we had 1,200 people come. So, I mean, it made kind of an impact, but it was sort of a long distance trip thing. And so then when some other guys like Brent and Ed and different guys like that came, it became a lot more successful. But anyway, it's so good to be with you guys. And I love Andy and his wife I just met. She's awesome. I can see that she's his better half. And Glenn and his wife and Ed, and where's your wife, Ed? Is she coming? No. Okay. Do you allow her to come to these? Just kidding. Anyway, I know these guys, really love these guys, and yeah, it's just a joy to be with you all. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit tonight. And normally you wouldn't start with that at a conference, but I'm only going to be here for like 20 hours. And so I was asked to actually start with this. So, but here's the thing. This conference is about koinonia. And of course we know that Jesus Christ and the Father shared the love of God throughout all eternity. Jesus tells us that in John 17. But so did the Holy Spirit with them. And sometimes the Holy Spirit is looked at as sort of the unknown member of the Trinity, or the mysterious member of the Trinity. But to Jesus, it wasn't like that. And he really sought to make that extremely clear and important, his last message before he was crucified. And that was in John 14 through 16. We're not actually going to study those chapters, but I just want to give you a little brief thing about that before we get into the verses we're going to look at. So Jesus says to them in John 14, he says, the Spirit of truth. You know, he keeps talking about the Holy Spirit over and over and over again in those chapters. And he says in John 14, 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you disciples, you know him because he is with you and he will be in you. So, the Holy Spirit, the world doesn't see him. He's not real to them. Because it takes spiritual eyesight to see that. Eyes of faith in Jesus. That's spiritual eyesight. Faith in Jesus. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. So, it's our faith in Jesus that allows us to see how real God is. So, for we who trust in Jesus, we understand that the Holy Spirit is very real. But even the disciples on that night before Jesus was crucified. I mean, it's just hours before he's going to be arrested. He's going to go through all these terrible trials. And then he's going to be tortured, crucified, buried, and rise again. It's just hours from that. And Jesus is explaining things that will prepare them to take over and to do the job once he's gone, right? So he's given them this training, sort of this final training session, right? And he tells them some cool stuff, and he says, now I'm going some places that you can't come. And Peter goes, what? You know, what do you mean we can't come where you're going? Where are you going? I'll go anywhere with you. In fact, you know, I've got my sword. I'm going to kill people if they try to hurt you, Jesus. I'm going to protect you. I'm your protector. The Lord goes, well, not exactly. You'll deny me three times before morning. See, he's not getting it, right? He's not quite getting it. And then he says, but don't let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. You believe in God. Believe in me. Believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. That's where I'm going. Ultimately, that's where I'm going. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I'll receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, then, doubting Thomas speaks up. And he says, where are you going? We don't know where you're going. How can we even know the way? Now, Jesus told him where he was going. I'm going to prepare a place for you. How do we know where you're going? In my Father's house, there are many mansions. How do we know where you're going? Clueless. I mean, they're not getting it. So he says, how can we know the way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay, you get that? Is that pretty easy? And then Philip pipes up, and he goes, Lord, show us the Father. And that would be enough. Just show us God. We want to see God. Philip, have I been with you so long, and haven't you even seen me? The one who's seen me has seen the Father. They're not getting it. But then he goes and starts telling them, the Holy Spirit is coming. He's going to teach you all things. He's going to bring to your remembrance everything that I've said to you. I have a lot that I want to tell you. Right now you can't receive it, so I'm going to hold off. But he's the one that's going to do this. Now, what's so funny about that is, have you ever talked to one of your loved ones? You know, maybe a friend, maybe a family member, maybe your kids. You know, maybe your parents, someone, and you're trying to tell them about Jesus, and it's like, they're not understanding at all. And you're like, oh, this is hopeless. They are not getting it. I give up, you know. And if I were Jesus on that night, I think I would have said, you know, you're fired. You know, you guys are all fired because you're just really clueless. But you know, he didn't do that. Why? Why? Because he knew the Holy Spirit would do it for them. He doesn't give up on people because he believes in the Holy Spirit. He believes the Holy Spirit is almighty. The Holy Spirit will convict of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit will get through. He will do it. Some of you parents with your kids, really, you're not getting it, young man. But the Holy Spirit will help them. Just keep doing a good job of loving and training, and the Holy Spirit will do it. Okay, so that's the beginning of what I wanted to share with you. Jesus and the Holy Spirit, just like that. The koinonia, the love, the confidence in each other. Same as with the Father and the Son and the Father, and the Holy Spirit. There's this amazing love, this amazing koinonia. This is what they are bringing to us. And we need the Holy Spirit bad. You and I, we really need the Holy Spirit. And God wants you to have experiences with the Holy Spirit, legit biblical experiences with the Holy Spirit that are real, that are transformative, and all of that. He loves you. That's why he sent the helper for you. He said, I'm not going to leave you as orphans. You know, you're not little orphan boys and girls. I'm giving you my Holy Spirit. Plus, I'm going to rise again. I'll see you again. Then I am going to heaven. I'll come back, but I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, I got you covered. But we really need the Holy Spirit, because honestly, people, we're clueless unless the Holy Spirit's with us, helping us day by day by day. Okay, another thing that comes to mind is that the U.S. and Canada have something really cool in common. Right? Did you know that? One is weird politicians. But another one might be a great, powerful wonder of nature called Niagara Falls. Niagara Falls. It's the greatest, powerful wonder of nature I've ever seen. Now, you guys have the better falls than we do. And that doesn't seem right. You know, the Horseshoe Falls. For one thing, they're a horseshoe shape. And that's just cool. Ours aren't. And that's not fair. But anyway, but they're both amazing. Right? When you stand, how many have seen that? Okay? All right. When you stand over that and you watch that, when you see 2 million gallons of water pouring over a 167-foot cliff per second, I wondered what it would be like to fall into it and go over. It's scary, but it was amazing. Just was mind-blowing. We just stood there. We took pictures. We just enjoyed it. We saw rainbows coming off of it. You know, that's one cool thing about it. It's just so awesome. But then, okay, so we're walking away, okay, and that's all cool. Kodak moments, phone moments, iPhone pictures, you know, all that stuff. But how about this? I'm walking away. We see signs. You can come up to the falls, right up close. Cave of the Wind. Have you ever heard of that? Cave of the Wind. It's right at the bottom of the falls. You can come right up and touch them practically. And all you have to do is pay $30. Or 10 or 20, I can't remember exactly, but you get, for that, you get a free little flimsy parka and flip-flops that you wear on your feet. So all of this is advertised, and I'm going, what? Free for $30? That's weird. I don't think so. But my kids, who are there with me, they're saying, let's go down to the Cave of the Wind. Dad, we want to get up close. I go, why would you want to do that? And they said, well, it seems like it's exciting. And I go, yeah, but it's $30 per person, you know, or do you have $30? You know, none of them did, but they all said, we have to do this. Okay. So we went down. We put on our flimsy parkas. What did they call them? No, ponchos. Ponchos, special Niagara Fall ponchos, and Niagara Fall flip-flops. They have NF on them. So we go up there, and we get really close. I mean, listen to this. How many have done this? Okay, am I the only one? You haven't lived. You do the boat. Okay, well, this is even better. They should hire me as a, you know, as a advertising agency. Anyway, so you go up there. It's a gigantic hurricane. It is scary. You come up, you're hit with all this mist of the wind. It's coming down, and then you see this thing, and you think you're going to go and get, you know, it's going to come on you, but it doesn't. It's just right there. And you feel so much power, like not like up above at all. You feel the power of that force, and you're, you know, those flimsy yellow ponchos, ripped to shreds, just. And do they protect you from rain? No, not at all. Not at all. You're waterlogged when you come back. You're completely saturated. And flip-flops, I mean, you're lucky if you even have them when you're done. It's really bad. And so fun. So fun. I went as close as you could possibly get. The other guys are a little bit scared. They were younger, and they, you know, and I went right up, and I was, you know, kind of like, ah, oh, take my life, you know. It's just so, such a wonderful experience. Okay. What am I saying? I don't know. What I'm saying is this. You can look from a distance at something amazing from God, or you can get right into it. You can go right up, and you can say, Lord, fill me. Empower me. Show me yourself. Fill me to overflowing. Saturate my life. That's what we want to talk about. So let's turn to John 7, 37 to 39. This is a brief passage. Shouldn't take us long. But John 7, 37, it says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus is here in Jerusalem, and he's on the Temple Mount. He's at one of the great feasts. It's called the Feast of Tabernacles, right? You've heard of that. And this feast falls in autumn, in October. The feast for the Jews is one of the happiest, funnest feasts. It's of all the feasts, it was like a combination of Thanksgiving and Independence Day. Okay, do you guys, you guys have Thanksgiving, right? Do you have it the same time we do? Or no? It's a different one? October? Okay, well, that's cool. And whenever you want to have it. And then when's your Independence Day? Okay, you're not independent yet? No, just kidding. I love you guys. You know, we have these Canadian U.S. joke things. It's all among brothers, sisters. Anyway, this was so fun because they're celebrating the abundance of harvest that God brought them in the Promised Land. They're also celebrating freedom. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles was about. Freedom from oppression in Egypt. And God has brought them out of Egypt through the desert to the Promised Land. Now, during that travel, right, they camped out in little tents. In the actual one, they camped out in tents along the way, and it was fun for all the family. And they had these tents made out of palm branches, and they would sort of relive that. Every year in the Feast of the Tabernacles, they would cut down these palm branches and they would build these little huts, these little tents, and they would even have their tents on the Temple Mount. Now, the whole family would join in and do that, and they would gather with other families. It was like, you know, have you ever gone camping with other families and all your kids mix together and they have fun and all that? That's what they would do every year. So it was the blast of the year. It's like they would go out and they would, you know, camp with the other kids and the other adults, and they would have parades and feasts, campfires at night. It was just amazing. In fact, they called it the happy season. Or like here, it says the feast. Also in 1 Kings 8:2, it was just called the feast. Because this is the biggie. This was the fun. The fun that they all had. Now for Jesus, as he's speaking here, it's 6 months before his crucifixion. He's seriously heading towards the cross. And his face is turned towards the sacrifice that he's going to make. He knows that in 6 months will be his hour. But he doesn't isolate himself. He doesn't seek solitude. You know, his brothers are asking him, are you going up there? He goes, you guys go up there, you know. He's kind of being mysterious. But he knows he's going up there too. Why? Because there's so many people that are going to be there. It's huge. Josephus said 2.5 million people were in Jerusalem at this time. Half of them, over 1 million, were on the Temple Mount at this moment. And Jesus knows this is one of the final opportunities I'm going to have, because in the last few weeks, months, he kind of goes off with his disciples mainly. And so this is really big. He's reaching as many people because that's why God sent him. Look at chapter 20 or verse 28 at the end. It says, he who sent me is true, whom you do not know, but I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. He's coming to this feast because God the Father sent him for these people. And he wants to reach every single one that he possibly can. And so, he says in verse 37 that he stood up at this moment and he cried, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now, he says it's on the last day, that great day of the feast, that he did this. And when it says he cried out, that word actually means he screamed or yelled. In fact, it was used of the croaking of a crow or a raven. Just really belted it out. There might have even been, I think personally there probably was, it's speculation, but supernatural amplification. I think he just, and everyone heard. And Jesus said something so significant. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Now, to get the significance, let's understand the ritual that was occurring. The Feast of Tabernacles lasted for 8 days. Let's see what they did. Once each day for the first 7 days, the priest would go to the pool of Siloam. And they would fill up golden pitchers with a quart of water each. And then they would do a parade. So every day they would do this parade for 7 days. And they would go on this parade led by the priests and then throngs of people. And they'd go from there to the Temple Mount. And when they got there, they would go to the great altar of sacrifice, right in front of the temple where sin offerings were offered. And they would march around the altar of sacrifice. And then they would take those pitchers and they would pour out the water on and around the altar. And as the priest in particular poured out these golden pitchers of water, the people would sing. And they would recite Isaiah 12:3, which said, with joy we will draw from the wells of salvation. Now, this altar of sacrifices is all about what Jesus is going to do at the cross, the sin offering. And these pitchers of water, which represent the Holy Spirit, are being poured out on the altar of sacrifice. And they're praising God that they're drawing from the wells of salvation. And the people are saying this and they're singing this. Now, in the original of what happened, remember, they were wandering through the wilderness, traveling to the promised land, right? And Exodus 17:6 says that God provided for them water from the rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. We're told in 1 Corinthians. And that's the rock that Moses struck with the rod, symbolizing he would be struck for our sins. And when Moses struck it, the water poured out. So it's all about Jesus. That whole thing, Jesus knows, is all about him. And this rock had gone with the children of Israel. I know it sounds mysterious. It's all, I don't understand it fully. All I know, Jesus was with them, and he took care of them. Provided water and food and all that they needed. Now, on the eighth day, something different happens. The priests would go to the pool of Siloam. They would take the golden pitchers, but they would not fill them with water on the eighth day. That's what this day is, the last day. Verse 37. They wouldn't fill the pitchers with water, but they would still go to the Temple Mount with the empty pitchers, and they would march around the altar of sacrifice, this time seven times, with empty pitchers. This illustrated that the children of Israel came to the promised land, and from then on, God would provide them the water. No more this rock following them in the wilderness, but the land would provide. And God himself would provide, just as he promised in Isaiah 44:3, which the high priest would then recite. So they would pretend like they were pouring water, but there was no water coming out. That's what's going on right now, as Jesus says what he says. They're pouring out from empty pitchers and nothing's coming out. Because he quotes Isaiah 44:3, "For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on dry ground. I will pour my spirit and my blessing on your descendants." In other words, this land is going to take care of you. God's going to take care of you through the Holy Spirit. So they're pouring from these empty pitchers when Jesus is standing there and no water's coming out, because they know that God's going to take care of it through his Spirit. And Jesus gets up at that very moment and screams at the top of his lungs. I'm sure in a very pleasant scream. "If anyone thirsts, come to me and drink," he says to all these people. That's kind of crazy. You know, what if Prime Minister Trudeau did that? You have Trudeau now, right? Isn't that? Yeah. What if he got up and said, "Come to me and drink"? They'd probably be thinking of a different drink. Definitely with Donald Trump, they would. But, you know, if one of these politicians did that, they go, "You have now lost it officially." But when Jesus said it, everyone was like, this man who's done miracles among us, this man who's raised the dead, this man who's healed the sick, this man who's multiplied food, who's turned water into wine, he's saying, "If anyone's thirsty, come to me and drink, and out of your heart will flow and gush forth rivers of living water." He's bidding them to come. It's also interesting that the name Siloam, the pool of water that comes from a powerful underground stream, by the way, that name, Siloam, means sent one. And Jesus says in this context in John 7, five times, we just read a couple of them a minute ago, God the Father sent me. I'm the sent one. I just came from him, and I'm giving you the water. All you have to do is thirst and come to me and drink. You know, one of the titles of the Messiah is sent one. He was sent from God to give us a new life until a river of life pours out of your innermost being. That's what he has for you as a believer. That's what he has for me. That's what he has for us as pastors. Guys, this is what we need. You leaders in ministry, this is what you must have if we're to do what God desires to do. And I love worshiping with you guys, by the way, because I just sense the Holy Spirit is overflowing you guys. And there's just this thirst and this hunger. But that's what he's saying. If anyone thirsts, come to me. That's the only way that your heart will be filled and overflow and touch others. Because our spiritual hearts are like those empty pitchers. Maybe you're golden on the outside, but you're empty on the inside. Or maybe you're not even golden on the outside. I don't know. But the truth is that we were all created subject to emptiness. Since the fall, sin has made us empty. But God has this glorious presence of his to fill the emptiness. It's a God-shaped thing. Only the Holy Spirit, only that life-giving water can do it. He wants to fill you. You know, think of the woman at the well just a couple chapters earlier, right? She's going to the well to get water, and Jesus says, hey, could you lay down your bucket for me? I'm kind of thirsty. I've been walking a lot and tired. And she's shocked that a man would talk to her like that. And so they get in this conversation, and Jesus says, hey, yeah, if you knew who it was you were talking to, you'd understand that I give living water. And you'd ask me, and I'd fill you up. And she's like, what? But then after a while, he convicts her about her lifestyle and all that stuff. And she's like, oh no, this must be the prophet or the Messiah or something. And then she starts to believe because Jesus said, I am. And she goes, whoop, drops her bucket and runs back to town and says, I met the Messiah. And then all the guys start coming. They want it too. Right? She started to receive this thing. She had no idea. She was going to the well to do the job she always did, the boring job. A lot more fun hanging out with the guys. And then Jesus said, hey, that's not where it's at. That's never satisfied you, lady. What you've really been looking for is what the Messiah has for you. The real life, the koinonia with God himself and with his people. So this is just amazing. Jesus is that one who was struck, who died. God's rod of judgment struck Jesus on the cross so that you and I could have his very presence within our bodies as his temple. Do you know if the blood of Jesus had not been shed, that could not be possible? But because of the blood of Jesus, you're washed white and the Holy Spirit fills you. And now through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can say no to sin. And yes, to what God has. And he gives the Holy Spirit without measure. It says in John 3:34. This is Jesus, co-creator of the world with the Father and the Holy Spirit. And he's just saying, you just must thirst. What is thirst? You want to be filled. You know you're empty. You're lacking. I need God. And you ask Jesus to fill it, that void. And how do you receive it? Believe and receive. Come to Jesus and drink. Drink. And your heart will overflow. Overflow. So Jesus is the one who doesn't just baptize with water. But like John the Baptist says, he baptizes with this eternal water, the Holy Spirit. John kept saying, I baptize you with water, but there's one greater than me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's what you need. In other words, it's not just an outward profession and confession of repentance and faith and forgiveness of sins. It's an inward transformation that happens. The Holy Spirit comes in, fills you, and changes you on the inside. Jesus wants to do that with you. He wants to baptize you. The word baptismo or baptizo literally means to overwhelm or saturate. He saturates areas of your life that he wants to change. For example, his perfect love dispels fear. How many of you, you don't have to raise your hands, how many of you have a problem with fears, anxieties, right? Stresses, worries. I used to be totally plagued with fear. I used to be afraid to fly on airplanes. You know, we had a lot of turbulence coming over. It didn't bother me. Why? The Holy Spirit is helping me. You know, really. It's completely changed. I was afraid of everything, it seemed like. I was one of these guys that was, you know, fearful about stuff. I couldn't even go away and stay overnight with a friend till I was like 15, 16 years old. Think of that, because I had homesickness. You know, me, a big macho man like this. You know, and I had this problem. And you know what happened? I went to a camp, kind of like this conference, a youth camp thing. And we prayed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and I never had that problem again. The Holy Spirit completely took it away. I used to have a real problem with anger and kind of depression and sadness and unhappiness. And when I was married, and I thought Kathy would fulfill all my hopes and dreams. You know, and she pretty well did for like a couple of years. But then after a few years, it's kind of like, what's the deal here? It's not still fulfilling, you know? I mean, it's okay, don't get me wrong. But yeah, we would have fights and this and that, and I'd go, you know what? I'm not happy. I'm really not happy. How come you're not making me happy? She goes, well, Pastor Wayne, I think that's something God has to show you. Isn't that God's jurisdiction? Joy and happiness? Since when did I become your source of happiness, you know? She had already learned that I wasn't going to do it for her. I'm just getting real here. In marriage, it's got to be Jesus that satisfies your life. Prince Charming will be Jesus. That guy you're with, he's probably pretty cool too. But not Jesus, right? So the Lord showed me that, and I had to repent. I repented of my anger and my attitude towards her. And instead of being angry and sometimes mean, you know, think of that, a pastor saying a mean thing, you know? I bet you that even happens to you sometimes, right? You don't do that? Okay, where's your wife? Just a second. Okay, but really, I had to change. And the Lord has changed me so much. Now, my first inclination is not to criticize. You know, for a lot of us, that is our first inclination. Is, oh, let's criticize. Because it's a carnal thing. It's a natural human fleshly thing to do. But guess what? It's not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness and goodness. I'm so kind now, I shock myself. But it's only Christ. Honestly, anything, any change, anything good is only what Christ will do. But that's what he'll do. He will fill you. It's not overnight, but these fillings of the Spirit. You know, that's one of the great things about the Holy Spirit. Free refills. And initial filling is big, which is baptized, filled, overflowing. He wants to do that tonight. I just want to tell you one little story that I always loved. It's a metaphor again, but it's such a great story. It kind of help me explain things. There was this minister, true story. He was walking out in the country, and he was walking down a country road, and he looked across a field, and he looked up to this, you know, farmhouse, and he saw this this man pumping water. And he was by a water pump that you do by hand, and he was pumping this water, and you know, the guy was out walking, he was probably having little devotions, whatever, I don't know. And he looks over at the guy, he's a minister, and he sees this guy pumping, but the thing, he stood there for 10 minutes. The guy never slowed down. It was just, and the water was just gushing out. So he was like, what is this, the bionic man? He just keeps pumping out. He never slows down. This is crazy. So he wanted to find out what was going on. So he started walking across the field, and he walks up to this thing. As he gets closer, he's seeing, well, that is strange, you know? And he sees this guy's arm and hand just pumping this thing. As he gets closer, he realizes that the hand and arm are wired to the pump. And then he gets closer and he sees that the man is actually a wooden man, wired to the pump, going back and forth like this. Then he gets really close and he realizes it's an artesian well. And it flows from the underground stream, the underground water, and it's just pouring through. And the pump or the water is pumping the man, not the other way around. The man's not pumping the water at all. It's the water pumping the man. And the guy goes, whoa. The Lord just speaks to him and says, you don't hype me up. You don't get me to come, oh, let's all get the Holy Spirit. Oh, let's get him going, you know. No, the Holy Spirit will get you going. He will pump you. Not you, him. It's a lasting thing. He fills you and he keeps pouring in. And out of your innermost being. I love that. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. Your gift. The Father's gift to us. Lord, we're not worthy. Just like we weren't and are not worthy of your blood shed for our sins to wash us clean. Just like we're not worthy of you as our Savior and Lord and your grace that is given so richly and so freely. And yet you give us, on top of all that, you give us the Holy Spirit to fill our lives. Not only to cause us to be born again, that which is born of your Spirit is a new life, a new spirit. We become children of God through your Spirit. But you also want to empower us with the Holy Spirit. You said we will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon us, or has come over us, or has overflowed us, and we shall be witnesses. Not because we hype up this witness, but because you empower us to be witnesses. Thank you. What a blessing. And then all the gifts of the Spirit also become available. How we thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. the Lord Jesus and the Father want to fill you and I and empower us afresh. And without that flow of the Spirit, without that empowering of the Spirit, we cannot be the oasis, that place where people can come and drink of Jesus and taste and see that he is good. We are absolutely dependent on this power, because it's not by our might nor by our power, but by his Spirit that the house of God is built. And he wants to fill you and I. Maybe you've never thought about him filling you or empowering you, but you realize tonight, I really desire that. I long for that. Or maybe you're here and you've gotten dry and things aren't fresh, and you really desire a renewed filling. How much more will your Heavenly Father fill you with the Holy Spirit if you but ask? If you desire that, all those that really want this fresh empowering, why don't you stand? Stand to your feet. And we'll ask God together to fill us and empower us and refresh us and renew us with the filling of his Spirit. And pastors, if you could gather around, and women's leaders, if you could just gather around and lay hands on these folks, if you would do that, if you could go to them now. We want people praying for each one, or people that are sitting nearby, feel free to do that. And just put your hand on them. Let's pray for this. And maybe the worship leader could also come as well. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. That was really good, by the way. Thank you, hon. Let's pray for these people right now. Thank you, God. Praise you, God. Andy, could you lead us in prayer as a group? And you right there praying for those that you're praying for, that your hands are laid on their shoulder. Pray silently. Fill them, overflow them. And you who are thirsting and asking, just believe. You will receive, he said. Believe, you will receive, and just begin to praise him as people pray for you.
Oh, come to the Father, come through the Son, come by the Spirit, find freedom.
Thanks for listening. We hope this message has helped you to walk closer to the Lord. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please contact us through our website, calvaryottawa.ca. May the Lord richly bless you. Yeah, yeah.